Welcome to Sports 56 Happy Hour with Johnny Radio. The first hour of the show is brought to you by MemphisMoldInspector.com. Now, here's your host, Johnny Radio himself, John Harden.
What it is back. What it is. No, I got it. What it is back. What it is. I got it going. Got my money changed, but you still there laying down. Break it up. Break it down. Back it up.
Yo, 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 yo. Welcome to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio, and I'm fired up on this Tuesday, man. It's the Views from the 22 Tuesday at 11:30 with my man Mo Shifter.
When do you come to the Happy Hour and not be fired up, John?
You know, yesterday I was a little bit melancholy.
But you were fired up still.
When I got into a few things, yes.
You were fired up like Wildfire Tommy Rich.
I
somebody
like
say something about fired up.
Fired up. I'm in. Coach Dispensary, Steel, Missouri, baby. Let's do it. Let's do it.
I got to tell you a Wildfire Tommy Rich story off there, and we'll do it later.
I like that. I like that. I'll be listening. We'll bring a little bit on the air, too, if we can.
But, we probably can, but I'm going to tell it to you first.
But the one thing is, I'm learning a lot, and I got a lot of stuff to announce today, so pay attention. This is going to be a busy two-hour show. One, Friday, I'm going to be at Town Village Ultimate Park. You know what I'm saying?
True that.
True that. That's right. Dennis Dixon, you know my man over at EnviroMasters?
That's my guy.
Dude, he knew where I was going to be before I knew where I was going to be because I put in my schedule backwards, Bangers and Pickleball and Town Village. So, Dennis, thank you. And also, EnviroMaster, thank you so much. Because they take care of over 300 businesses in Memphis, and they allow me to go to places and not smell stank or catch diseases. They are a complete odor control. They are a complete disease prevention. They got more things for your business, and I don't care, like any business owner. You could own a shopping mall. You could own Harden House Productions, Flynn Broadcasting. You could be an amazing restaurant. You're going to need EnviroMaster. In fact, call my buddy Dennis, 901-500-5361, 901-500-5361, or go to enviro-master.com. That's EnviroMaster. It's enviro-master.com, though, to get them online. And the owner, Tom Whitley, is the nicest guy in the whole wide world. He doesn't even mind if you give him a call. He owns the bad boy. And he said, man, just give out my number. Call him, 901-356-8282. That's 901-356-8282. Again, they will make sure that those odors and nasty things that can kill your business do not. So kill the germs that kill your business right now. Go to EnviroMaster-. It's actually Enviro-Master.com. That's twice I've done that today. I feel like my brain's a little bit backwards from some of the things that I'm about to bring to you today. But it is enviro-master.com. Again, call Dennis Dixon or my friend Tom Whitley. Now, we've got NFL draft. We didn't break down much yesterday, hardly at all. Talked a lot of NBA playoffs and poppycock and Angel Reese. Because of Angel Reese, I took Orlando last night because I just knew that Wendell Carter was going to come out and do it. Jalen Duren was trying to get going. And my goodness, Orlando's Desmond Bane with a bank in three. My man was playing defense hard last night, balling everybody up. And did you see my man Kane? Not cocaine. C-A-I-N. But that's, wait, is that Cain and Abel? Is that a story, right? Yeah, I knew that one.
You knew one of them at least, huh?
I knew Cain and Abel did something bad, right?
You know, the biblical Cain and Abel or the No Limit version of Cain and Abel?
I was thinking biblical.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, did he have like did one of them try to kill the other one?
Cain killed Abel.
Oh, listen, talk to me.
Cain killed Abel.
He did kill him? That is not nice. Is he, did he get in trouble?
Yeah.
Man. I'm going to have to go back and read that one. It's been a little too long. But we got a lot to get to again. NFL draft, I really got to find out what my man Mo Shifter thinks. At 12 o'clock, me and Ham and my man Jared are going to get deep up in the NBA playoff games tonight. I'm going to jump on some NBA playoff games and what we learned from last night. How'd you like my Dodgers over? Told you, boys and girls. I didn't have the cojones to take the Marlins. At one point, I was like, damn, I could have taken the Marlins plus 300. I don't know if you watched that. Dodgers came back and won that game in the bottom of the ninth. A little walk-off action. We went well over the total. We hit that bad boy. We got Orlando. We got the under. What game did we take the under in? That was so much so easy.
I've been taking the under in Orlando-Detroit the entire series.
Yeah, that was some cake.
And I've been winning on the under the entire series, including each quarter total. I've been betting on the quarters as well.
Thunder took care of business, did not cover the spread.
Didn't cover the spread, punks.
Did not cover the spread. But guess what? The Timberwolves in line. I took them plus 16 and a half.
You got them at
Boy, that was scary as hell.
You got them at 16 and a half?
Man, during the game.
Okay, see.
I think I got all the way up to 1.22. At that point, I was getting scared. They were getting run out for a minute.
At that point, I went to sleep.
And then, thank goodness, that fourth quarter where they dropped 38 points, the T-Wolves did. And, man, it was a saving grace for me anyway. But I got a start last night down in Orlando. Oh, and by the way, here, one other programming note. I'll be at Town Village Alderman this Friday. It is going to be a lot of fun. Town Village. Do you know what Town Village is? That's the place where you, like, go to retirement home. Like 55 and older. Town Village, Audubon Park. It's a retirement community at 950 Cherry Road. That's where I'm going to be. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know it sounds crazy. I love going there. I go there every year. Every year. And when I'm 55, which is 7 years from now, six and a half, I'm going to be the pickleball champion. I'm going to be hitting, taking everybody's girlfriends. I always tell all the old dudes over here, in 7 years, man, say goodbye to your girlfriend, bro. Because, man, you don't understand. That's exceptional senior living. They got three different restaurants. They got a bistro. They got a couple different bars. They take you anywhere you want to go. They got a pool. They got an indoor pool. They got pickleball courts. They got housing. They got it all. It's amenities. It's beautiful. Check them out, townvillageaudubonpark.com. I'll be there this Friday. Come and see me. But last night, boy, did we see like an old 90s basketball game last night. The Pistons, and it made so much sense that the Pistons were involved, didn't it? Late 80s, early 90s, some defense, some ugly shooting. And I'm going to be honest with you. Last night, both teams were ugly. Do you realize that Detroit actually shot better than Orlando, and they shot only 38% from the field? Did you know that?
I did notice. This is why I take down DeJuan.
That's ridiculous.
This has been a rock fight.
Dude, it is too ridiculous. And turn up my man Jared's mic just a little touch so they can hear my homie.
And I checked the third quarter after playing ball last night, and they both had 56 to 54 in the third quarter.
Yep.
I see why you're taking the under every time. That's a low-scoring game.
Yeah, it's going to be a rock fight, man.
Paolo airballed 2 3-pointers last night. Airball. Didn't catch rim. I was like, bro, he was 0-for-4 from downtown, quit shooting, and he got to the line 13 times. And that's kind of the difference, was turnovers and getting to the line and knocking down your free throws. Because that's the one thing, the Magic, they got 25 free throws made on 34 attempts, 74%. Only Detroit, 20 free throws on 28 attempts. They shot 20% Detroit from the three-point line. And just a touch better, Detroit shot 26%. I mean, we were seeing brick after brick after brick after brick after brick. And the best part about that is I took the under before the game started. And if you remember, do you remember how the game started when Orlando came out for 7 out of the first 10 possessions were turnover? Orlando scoring. You also have, by the way, if you all remember like when it first started, Pistons hit their first, I think, 3 shots and then couldn't buy a bucket. I mean, this thing started out with a quickness, man. You saw Orlando jump their ass. And I'm like, whoa, wait, we have been this bad boy with a quickness. That thing shot up to like 219 and a half. I don't think I ever even worried about it. Like, I didn't even look at that bet. I already counted it as a win. You could just tell. But the also thing is, I want to ask a lot of people right now at the Sissy's Log Cabin text and listener line, where life's too short for ordinary jewelry. I think I'm changing a little bit. And that's, guess what happens the older you get, and life does change, you know? things do change. I've always been about stars. Star power. You know, I grew up in MJ. I want to be like Mike. If I could be like Mike. I was a little tyke, wanting to be like Mike. Had my Jordans on. Never was flying, though. But I'm now, like, looking at it. I'm starting to think that the real story here is it's not necessarily about star power as much as it's about depth. Mm-hmm. If your guy gets you 30, your star, that's one thing. But if your 6 through 9 guys only get you, like, 18, 20 points, you're probably losing that game. And we harp on stars constantly. But, man, when I'm watching the NBA games and the playoffs, one, I feel like depth's the real story right here in these playoffs. If you got a deeper team, you have a real good chance, because I hate to say it, but you can't play all 48 minutes anymore these days, not everybody.
And with the way that injuries are impacting everything, depth definitely comes into play, even if those dudes are like 20-minute a night rotation dudes, if they're ready to go.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You got to have them ready to go. And I'll tell you one thing. This is going to sound crazy, because Franz Wagner, in the end of the second quarter, I feel like he kept Orlando tight. He was hitting the three. He got in the lane and got an easy little two. When they went on that stretch where they couldn't score to save their dead gum life, all of a sudden Orlando comes back and takes the damn lead at the halftime, when for a minute in that second quarter, you thought Cade and them boys were about to run him out and get a big lead, but nope. Wagner kept him in him. And then he got injured. You know that, right?
That nagging calf injury.
I started saying to myself, oh, my God, do I cash out? Oh, my gosh. And then Jamal Cain came in. Straight up after doing an 8-ball and started flying around with a cape like he was Dwight Howard dunking on fools like I ain't seen since MJ.
He gonna cue that man of doing a powder, though. Man.
He definitely did. I didn't know he could fly like that. My man was on a pogo stick last night. Bro, he was defensively, he was stealing things. He was dunking on faces. What he did last night off the bench was... You can be like, John, if you didn't watch the game, by the way.
The dunk.
The energy that it brought, the 9 huge rebounds that it seemed like he always kept, especially those 2 offensive. He got 3 on the night, but 2 of them were huge.
The dunk
kicked it out to an open 3 for Bane.
The dunk emphasized the type of night that he had, because like you just mentioned, he had a hell of a night competing.
Man,
he was getting after.
He was on defense. He was up.
Not just last night, though. He was like that Saturday in game 3. He was like that. He'd been like that the whole series.
But that's what you do with your depth. Yeah. It's about how you use it. You know?
There you go.
And like, yeah, it's you have to know that. Like a player like Jamal Cain, if he's an energizer, you call a timeout if they on like a 6-0 run.
Yo, bringing him. Yeah, bringing the energizer bunny, bro.
And if you ain't got to burn that timeout, just send him to the clock. Right. You get him at the dead ball.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, to your point, and this is what I was telling John before we came in, your stars are going to star.
Yeah.
They going to do what they do. It's those dudes that, like John said, those 6-9, 6-10, players that's coming out. They have to feel their role and play well. Perfect example of such is like, you can find plenty of those, really, in a positive or negative. We look at Detroit right now. Cade is generally a 26 a night, 27, 8 boards, 9 assists type dude.
I mean, on the year he averaged 24, 6, and 9.
See, something like that, right? Mm-hmm. But right now,
damn
he,
it, I don't know if
you
I'm
know, going into last night, he's averaging 30. You know, and having to overcompensate on scoring because he ain't got it around him right now. That Orlando's taking that away. But then also at the same time, he's also overcompensating and trying to play make, which is causing a lot of turnovers. Mm-hmm. And that's taking him, especially last night, because you can see the really he got desperate last night. He was forcing stuff that he wouldn't ordinarily force. He almost kind of went back to like Oklahoma State Cade when he knew he was by himself. And he had to go pretty much get it how he live and do it that way. Not that he's not trusting his teammates right now. It's just they making it easy not to trust.
Well, his teammates ain't making shots. I can promise you that.
They're making it easy not to trust. So he has to overcompensate for it. And the thing, me and Darian was talking about this in your driveway, John, right just as we were leaving. the thing that irks me about it is that he's going to receive a lot of unnecessary blame for putting on the Superman cape and trying to overcompensate what his guys are not delivering, which is that what we ask our superstars to do. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
how about you do me a favor? Like for Cade, like this is the one thing I feel bad about Cade. Again, realistically, Jalen Duren has a chance to be the most improved player of the year. You believe that?
Well, Nick already won the award.
Oh, it's already been given out. See, yeah. I didn't even pay attention.
Last week.
Was it really last week? What the hell was I doing? I think
it was like Thursday last week. They've been kind of spacing them out. Mm-hmm. Like tonight, I think, executive of the year.
Well, I know he was up for it.
Yeah, he was there. He finished second.
Yeah, okay, he did finish second. Okay, thank you. I was like, damn, bro. I'm sounding like an idiot today. Not anything different than a Monday, a day that ends in
Y. This is why you hired the crew that you hired.
That's right. I got to make myself look good. I got to have a bunch of smart people around me. But the thing is though, like with Cade and everything, who was there to help him?
Well, here's the thing. And I broke this down with Greg and Eli. I talked to the guys at 94 about it. Talked to Jared about it yesterday. Yesterday, one of them. Jared, you can have a better recollection of the day. This was Caris LeVert's role. But his body has taken so much that he can't do that no more. But the style of play.
Actually, LeVert played pretty decent, I thought, last night for LeVert the playoffs for his body.
Yeah. You know, the injuries to his knees and the whole thing. His game was suited for that role. It just ain't on him no more. Now, they tried to bring in another shooter with Kevin Herter, but you ain't still got
the playmaker. Man, Kevin couldn't play, bro.
You know what I'm saying? You still ain't got the playmaker. Duncan is still able to play because you got Duncan out there defending, but you're not using Duncan for the weapon.
Duncan was six from three. He couldn't hit the broad side of a barn. He hit that one step-in three-pointer in the transition. Yeah. After that, he didn't hit nothing. But by the way, I can't believe I would have punched Jalen Suggs in the second half in the head if I saw him shoot another three. That dude jacked up how many last night?
Too many.
And made one the whole night? How many did he shoot?
This is the game we in.
Jalen Suggs, every time he pulled up, I said, what the bleep?
I'm going to give him that one because he's had one hell of a series.
He has. But after he misses like first seven. Because
They won,
yeah.
Let it be.
You better say one thing. Desmond Bain seeing Ja Morant and Tripp in the building last night, rooting on their homie, Dez. Do you see Ja sitting there doing the, like, when he hit the three?
Shout out to Ja, because he was just out in Phoenix about a week or so ago doing the same for Dylan and Grayson.
I saw him there, too. But you know what I had to hate to say this, man? Bro, that made me kind of sad.
It didn't make me sad. I feel you. It kind of validate what we feel anyway.
It just is like, damn, man, what could have been if y'all just could have gotten y'all ish together? If Deepak wasn't your friend.
We're going to find out after a while that we got bad juju around here, man. I hate to say it, but our basketball team, Greg Gaston said it plenty of times, we need an exorcism down at FedEx Forum. We got to get some ritual stuff back in order, you know. Maybe we need to call our good people down from Voodoo Village to come up and just try to rectify some
things. My man Dennis, remember, said we need to walk goats around.
Who knows get better some how goats. To get rid of funk than Dennis?
Yep, that's right. So we got to get goats walking around FedEx Forum. Hell, man, we can go down and take the ones from Silky's.
With it.
Good idea. Let's do this. We're going to jack the goats from Silky's, walk them around the FedEx Forum, then we're going to return them at Silky's and be like, look, we just found your goat. We get a free diver or what?
Sage night at the FedEx Forum?
Who I like? Yeah, sage night. Hell yeah. Burning sage, everybody out front. But Ja and Tripp, seeing them at the game, that was cool. But Dez last night, man, I ain't going to lie to you, bro. That dude was working his ass off defensively. 5 for 10 from the three-point line. He did even bank that last one in that separated and basically ended any hopes at all for the Pistons.
The man made 12 threes in the two home games in this series.
Damn.
He had 7 of them on Saturday. I was live betting, so we got to like 4. Oh, let's keep going, Dez. Oh, 5? Okay, let's bet on 7. Okay, bet. He hit 7.
And he was bodying up everybody. He was so damn physical. And that's the other thing about the NBA playoffs versus the regular season. I love the fact that they don't blow the whistle on every damn play. You actually get to play defense. You see these guys who are the greatest athletes on planet Earth. getting out there and actually getting physical instead of them blow, like if you blow on them, they would call a whistle during the regular season. You're like, damn, stop it. But I get it. They're trying to keep them healthy so they can let them bang like this during the playoffs. And, man, they were banging last night. And let me just tell you one other little note. This is the sixth 8 seed to have a 3-1 lead over a number 1 seed. 4 of the previous 5 8-seeds that had a 3-1 lead over the 1 seed have advanced to the next round.
And one of them went to the NBA Finals.
That was the Heat.
Yeah, and they came from the play-in.
Play-in. But they also had a Jimmy Butler who was banana sandwiches during that playoff run. Lord have mercy.
Hey, you gonna hate on Bam and Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero.
I'm not, but Jimmy Buckets, though, man. Those late game.
He was so big time with the big buckets.
Yes,
with
those big buckets, man. Lord. One thing about Paolo, though, I don't know if he's going to be the superstar we think he is, mm-hmm. or if he's going to be like one of the greatest scorers and become a. He's not a shooter like Carmelo. He don't play deep. Plays defense like Carmelo does.
But that's what they should have brought somebody in to craft that.
They just he needs to work on that 3-point stroke. But, man, Detroit's right. in some deep trouble. We barely got our toe wet in the NBA. We're going to talk tons of NBA today, playoff games. We're going to gamble. I got funny stories at 12:30 from a little bit of Hardenwood because it feels so good. And, again, tonight you got 76ers and Celtics at 6, Hawks, Knicks at 7, and we got the Trailblazers and Spurs at 8:30.
And you had a caller that just asked, are we going to talk about, and I'm quite sure because we talk about gambling anyway, so I'm thinking we're going to talk a little bit about Brendan Sorensen a little later on.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to talk. That's a Hardenwood story because let me tell you about the Texas Tech quarterback. Well, former Cincinnati Bearcat was the creme de la creme. Everybody wanted him. Like, do you know how many coaches yesterday were like, boy, we just dodged a bullet? Because if you don't know, Texas Tech's billionaires who are spending money to get them a championship spent a lot of money on bringing him to Texas Tech. And he checked himself into rehab, but not the kind of rehab you think.
Also, this breaking news, Damon Jones is the first of the player scandal, gambling scandal, to plead guilty.
What? That just came in?
Just came in.
Well, now you know what rehab he checked in. He checked into Gambler's Rehab, which... I understand AA, NA, CA, the 12-step program. I don't know about gambling rehab, nothing about it. If you know something about it, 901-360-8255, let me know. The Sissy's Log Cabin text and listener line where life's too short for ordinary jewelry. On the other side, Mo Schefter. We're going to get back to some NBA around 12. 12:30, I'm going to tell you about the Texas Tech quarterback who checked himself into rehab. And... more funny stories. But, man, next, it's Mo Schefter, NFL Draft, 30 minutes strong. Send your questions again to 901-360-8255. This is Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11, here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour with Johnny Radio. This hour brought to you by MemphisMoldInspector.com. Here once again is Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. It's such a beautiful day, y'all. It might be a little bit wet outside. It might not be the prettiest day you ever seen, but we all live and we all have NBA basketball to gamble on last night. We had it last night. I'm having a lot of fun. NFL draft to talk about.
And this is why the ruler's back.
Mo Schefter.
Yes, sir.
Mo Schefter. You know how great it would have been to see Adam Schefter and Mo Schefter on Jerry Springer? You are not the father.
Mo would have power slammed that man.
Oh, my goodness. But we're going to talk a little bit of NFL draft with my good buddy Mo Schefter. But I do want to tell y'all at the text line, 901-360-8255, if you text me a story that is funny enough to be discussed on Hardenwood Store, like today at 12:30, so think of something good. You got basically 55 minutes to get it into me. And it's got to be something that I read on Hardenwood. something funny, and if you hear your story read, then I'm going to text you back and let you know you won tickets to Zachary Bryan. Zach Bryan. He is, by the way, a country singer. He plays this Saturday, and it's something like Orange or something, and that is big song right now.
You asking the wrong dude.
Where's Dacus when you need him?
I'm the musician, and he acting the wrong
Something guy. In the Orange. Thank you, Texter. Y'all are faster than Cooter Brown. Oh, and this guy also says, don't forget I remember everything. See, we got a bunch of country folks out here listening. If y'all want tickets to the concert, free tickets, two of them, buddy. How you like me now? Text me at 901-360-8255, 901-360-8255. Give me a story. Like, give me a link. Write the story down. Talk and text it. I don't give a damn. Just give me a story. If I read it on Hardinwood today at 12:30, you win tickets to Zach Bryan this Saturday. But, man, we got Riverbeat going on this weekend. Or am I crazy? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right?
The Wu-Tang Clan is not, if they're not already here, they're on their way.
Wu-Tang Clan and Ice Cube.
Yeah. And I saw some photos.
I have never met Cube or Tang. I've had Tang. Not the drink.
Why you down there? See if you can get him on the show. Also, see if you can get our guy Method Man on the show as well.
All right. That's a good idea, actually. I just hope I'm going to have to tell, you're going to tell Superman that, because you know I'm going to be a little bit.
If you can get any of the Wu on the show, these dudes are about to go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year, too. So
this year?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to do that. I'm going to have fun on Saturday, I'll tell you that much. But, yeah, if you want these bad boys, text us. But now it's time to talk NFL with my man, Mo Schefter. And I'm so sorry. I've been talking. Mo been on the phone for 5 minutes, and he probably wants to punch somebody in the head. Mo, what's up?
Not at all. Not at all. First of all, two things real quick. Get you a hype man like Jay Hammond in this lifetime, because he always gets me fired up playing the right tracks when I get on this radio airwaves. And number two, I actually have body slammed somebody before in life. But I was protecting my commercial property, so it was a legal action of defense.
I love it. I love it. I would like to see that power slam by the day. Was it Goldberg-esque?
You know what? It may have been Rhino-esque, if you remember Rhino.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it may have been Rhino-esque.
Rhino with the gore, that big spear.
Yeah, but he had that, like,
weird have a power
side...
Slam,
he had like that side little
side
rock
slam.
Bottom thing.
Yeah, that's what I did. Oh, that had to hurt.
It's on camera. I don't know if I got the footage still because it was a while ago, but there was footage of it for a while.
Man, I'm so fired up though, Mo, because you know we're going to be talking about tacklers all day because I'm going to start on some defense actually today, and I'm going to ask you first and foremost. You know how Pat Mahomes is like. A generational type talent. He is absolutely a freak. Last year they were down, injuries, all kinds of issues. Their offense has been slowly kind of going backwards the last few seasons, if you haven't noticed, ever since they lost to the Eagles in the Super Bowl and a little bit before then. They also win heavy defense again this year. I love the cornerback, Mansoor Delane out of LSU. Mm-hmm. I think he's great. I think Peter Woods is a defensive tackle that's going to start straight off the jump. That I love that. I think the edge rusher, Mason Thomas out of Oklahoma, love the pick. But, dude, did they get anything at all on like, is there anybody that's going to help Pat, or are they going to do that in free agency with one of the maybe Diggs or Tyreek Hill? Like, are you surprised that they went so defensive heavy? First four picks, all defense. They got a defensive tackle, corner, a safety, an edge rusher, and Mason Thomas. And then they went with Emmett Johnson, the running back out of Nebraska, with the fifth pick. Y'all know they picked up Kenneth Walker in the offseason. But who the hell Pat throwing to?
So, okay, and you, if you've been listening to me now on Johnny Radio, you know this isn't me just reacting to react. I felt for last year the problems of the Kansas City Chiefs on offense was wildly overblown. You know, shout out to my brother Big Shot. He called the receivers Walmart greeters, and I just wildly disagreed with it because I thought they had 3 to 4 wide receivers that maybe they weren't all wide receiver ones, but it was a bunch of wide receiver twos, that's for sure. And then with their offensive line, they also had their fair share of injuries.
Yes, they did. Trey Smith.
If you look at that defense last year, that's where the real problem lied. They weren't as effective in stopping the run. They certainly were not as effective in getting pass rush naturally, which is what Steve Spagnuolo has done for so long in this league. That's how he won with the Giants, an ability to rush four and create pressure with four. They no longer had that ability. So when they would compromise by blitzing, well, now all of a sudden you look at your corners and your safeties and you're like, we don't necessarily have the right players. So you're absolutely right. They took the best corner in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
There is no doubt about it.
And they got rid of Trent McDuffie, remember? I mean, like, they did a lot of, like, getting rid of people. Remember how big Trent McDuffie in 2022 was?
I do remember. I also remember, I'm pretty sure that was his rookie year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When they drafted him, do you remember how big he was and how big he played? I feel like they're seeing everything that they saw in Trent McDuffie in Mansoor Delane. That's why they moved up to get him, is what I'm saying.
Right. And then they went with
the big defensive tackle. Man, I think Peter Woods is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I do too. I think Peter Woods in most other drafts, depending on the board, could have gone mid-second round, high second round. So maybe even late first round, but the way Malcolm Brown went for Texas to the Patriots a few years ago. So and then they got that kid off the edge with some speed out of
Mason
Oklahoma.
Mason Thomas, baby. I like him.
Brother, yes. And I actually I liked the entire secondary out of Oregon, and they ended up getting that kid out of Oregon as well.
Mm-hmm. Jaden Candy.
Yeah, so I think like you said, they can still go ahead and add. Sorry, my other phone is ringing, and I have no idea where it is, so I apologize if you can hear it.
No, we actually can't.
You still have Tyreek Hill out there. You still have Stephon Diggs out there. You still got a few guys out there, but you also have some guys returning, and you're hoping the addition of Kenneth Walker, the healthy offensive line, another year with Rashee Rice where he's finally in training camp and et cetera,
law hanging over his head.
Correct. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I am not a psychiatrist, okay, but I do think last year there was a psyche thing going on with Travis Kelce. And who can blame him?
Dude.
Who can blame him?
Yeah, he's getting like the Taylor Swift chickadee chick. He's getting the billionaire lifestyle.
So he was like, man, I'm over here taking all these hits while we 6-10. Meanwhile, I could be in a VIP suite watching my girl continue to collect billions on the new Eras tour. So I think Travis Kelce is going to have a little bit of a rekindled spirit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Going into this season as well. Like, he committed. He signed a multi-year contract, even though it's not going to be multi-year. We get all that. But I do think Travis Kelce is super committed. And we just going to keep it as real can be. From 2007, let's just keep it real. From 2007 to 2021, any team Tom Brady was on was the favorite for that conference to reach the Super Bowl.
Facts.
Yep. But Brady had Peyton Manning in his conference. And I don't care if I offend Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I don't care if I offend Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Pat Mahomes don't got no Peyton Manning in his conference. So to me, a healthy offense with a retooled, re-strengthened defense, once again, it's appropriate Jay Ham played the rulers back, because once 15 is healthy, brother, this is the team to beat in the AFC. There's no question about it.
You saw how the Broncos last year defense was filthy. Bo Nix did enough. They just did enough, and they won, and they had the number one overall seed. We know what happened in the postseason. Bo Nix got injured. What do you think about the Broncos draft, and who's going to win the NFC West?
So, I mean, the Broncos, you know, I give Sean Payton so much credit for what he's done with this roster, because the Russell Wilson debacle.
They didn't even have a pick till the third round, right?
No, they didn't. They didn't have a pick till the third round. And they ended up going with the D tackle out of Texas A&M. I do like the running back they took out of Washington, but I don't think he's a pro running back. And then the other guys are Yeah, I don't think he's a friend. I like him. I watched his tape, and I was entertained watching his tape. But I'm like, nah, this kid ain't making the NFL. Like, no offense. Unless he, you know, does something on special teams, but we'll see. Regardless of what, no, again, like this is a year to year league. So I know some people are going to be like, oh, what are you talking about? The Broncos went 14-2, whatever they went. The Chiefs were 6-10. Who cares? That was last year.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. Like you, a few months ago, we talked about the Jets and the Dolphins. Well, low key now, the Jets and the Dolphins have optimism. Like this league is ever changing. It's ever transforming. You got to be in. The only thing that's constant in the NFL is change.
Facts.
And so you look at what the Chiefs did. You look at the Broncos offseason where they didn't really add anybody in the draft. They lost a couple of very valuable pieces in free agency on offense. I think the AFC is going to go from top to bottom, Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, Raiders. But I do think the Raiders will be more competitive. Obviously, the Chiefs will be more competitive. It's going to be a very competitive division. But the Broncos by no means should feel like, oh, yeah, we run the West. No, sir. No, sir. The West on both conferences is truly the wild, wild West as we head into 2026.
My man Travis Burke out of Memphis, 6'9", 320, worked with David Deal, who was a NFL left tackle for the Giants last year over at the University of Memphis. He was their fourth-round pick. He's a monster, 6'9", 320. He's big. They also got Jake Slaughter, the center from Florida. So you see what John Harbaugh loves to do. He likes beef, and he got some more beef. And then, of course, he had the edge rusher with the first-round pick, Mezidor out of Miami. The other guy, not named Reuben Bain, who was a beast on that defense. What'd you think about the Chargers draft?
Oh, sorry, the Chargers. Okay, my bad. I thought you were going Giants because you said John. Let's go back. Let's go to the Chargers. Let's go to the Chargers.
Oh, my bad. I meant Jim.
No, you good.
We talked so much about the damn Giants and how great John Harbaugh's done. I was kind of trying to stay away and move over to the West today.
No, you're right. Because I was like, wait, I thought Travis Burke went to the Chargers. So you're right. I got it right here. We're good. Again, I love teams that have identities, that have vision. And truly, when we get to the NFL draft, you really get sort of a look into the thought process of each individual organization. And if you look at a team's draft results, regardless of the player, forget the player, that's irrelevant in this conversation. When you look at the results, if you see consistency, if you see a vision, if you see a purpose, okay, well, then we can automatically move this team into a potential positive column. And I think with the Los Angeles Chargers, they got a DNA. They got an identity. They have schemes. And they know what type of players they want in those schemes. And they know what type of strength is needed to execute that scheme. So where some people might say, oh, well, this guy has this type of weakness. He can't go in the first round. Harbaugh, Jim, or John, any smart football organization is going to realize, wait a minute, what we need him to do, he does very well. We can teach him the other things as we move forward. So I think the Chargers draft was consistent with how they've been building their roster since Jim Harbaugh got there.
Dude, they got like a center, an offensive tackle, and two offensive guards in their sixth round. And like the offensive guards they got the big kid out of Oregon, and then they got the kid that they're going to be working on with, out of
Boston
where did
College.
Thank you. I couldn't remember.
Yes, sir.
Because he's another dude who's like 6'7", and he looks like he's one of those dudes who's like still got so much room for growth.
Correct. The guy they took from Oregon, I believe he was a tackle, but he's going to be a guard in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
And bro, the size of him with the speed and skills that he learned.
140 or something. Yes. Yeah, dude. And he can run like the wind blows.
Yes. So he's going to, maybe not this year, but a year or two, I could definitely see him being their starting guard. And again, this is a team that learned from their mistakes, that realized their only deficiency was depth.
at the offensive line position.
So look, so what do they do? So again, you got to watch teams that have vision, that have a plan, that have a DNA to their roster. Those are the teams that execute. Those are winning football programs. And the Chargers, as long as they can stay healthy, go Chargers, are going to be a very winning football program.
Dude, I love it. I love Mo Schefter, too. I say this, sadly, we got to take a quick timeout. We're going to be back in two shakes of a lamb's tail with a little bit more Mo Schefter on the other side. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Let Bryant Dacus and Brett Norsworthy take you home every afternoon. Sports Time on Sports 56. Weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Unlock your new Go.
Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour with Johnny Radio. This hour brought to you by MemphisMoldInspector.com. Here once again is Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. We've been talking NFL draft with my man, Mo Schefter. Views from the 22. Nobody does football better than Mo. Mo money, Mo women's, Mo problems. But Mo knows more about football than you. Hey, Mo, I got a question, man. Just a broad question. Like, I'm looking at all these divisions. I want to talk about the NFC North here in just a minute. We just went through the West. There's a lot of stuff that I'm kind of wondering about. But do you believe that there was just a clear winner in this year's NFL draft that did better than anybody else, period, bar none? You can see why they did exactly what they did. They had a plan and they executed it.
I don't want to sound redundant, Johnny.
Harbaugh.
I got three teams for you. Actually, you could pull four. But I'm going to give you three for sure. Number one is the New York Giants. I think far and away the winners of the draft.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Number two, believe it or not, the sports entertainment club known as the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm not far
gotta
from. I'm with you.
Got to be real. And then number three, I love what the Chiefs did. I love what the Chiefs did because to me. As I always say, right, it's the top three positions are quarterback, protect the quarterback, get the quarterback. The fourth honorable mention, defend the quarterback, being the cornerback. And anytime you can add a corner who now you know for the next 5 years you could be paying under the premium market value for a premier player for a premier position – you're winning. You're winning. And then the Giants, not only did they take the top player on my board at number 10 in Francis Maiawaga, they also took my third best overall player in Arvell Reese. And then I'm going to just be honest, they took my second favorite corner. I thought Hood should have been a first round pick. I really did. I am in love with that player.
I'm with you.
So to me, if you look at what the Jets did with their three first-round picks and what the Giants did in their with their top 37, with their three picks in the top 37, the Giants were far and away winners, better at judging positional value, and better at understanding what their roster needs. Like, the Jets completely, in my opinion, dropped the ball. Now, they have three first-round picks next year, but they're going to package that to go for a quarterback. I think they dropped the ball with the beast they could have added with three first-round picks this year because I think the skilled position players are all coming next year. But top three winners, Giants, Chiefs, Cowboys.
Over in the NFC North, who was the winner? Bears are, you know, coming. Detroit's been what they've been. Packers are always close, and the Vikings have – you know, Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, and they got weapons, and they got a, quote, genius at offensive, like, I mean, I guess Kevin McCarthy, they say he's a great offensive coach and a mind and everything. But, like, dude, you got now Kyler Murray. Like, I have no idea right now what to believe in the North.
Can I tell you something? You know, and this is where men got to be men. And correct their statements when they make false statements. And I'm talking about myself here. I have zero criticism left of Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson. I'm serious. Zero. Like, okay, not Ben Johnson, because let's see what he does on fourth down next year.
Mm-hmm.
But Ryan Poles. So first of all,
is quickly completely rebuilt this Bears team.
Bro, not only rebuilt the Bears team, he's rebuilt his reputation.
Damn.
He's rebuilt his reputation. He fleeced Brandon Bean by giving up a second-round pick for DJ Moore when he was going to cut him. And he drafted a center from Iowa. He drafted a big player from the Big Ten. Very smart. And then I told you, Johnny, I love the entire secondary for Oregon. And the safety they took, mm-hmm. I think he's going to be phenomenal. He's a Kevin Byard-type player. He's going to fit perfectly with Dennis Allen and that turnover-happy scheme. I think the Bears, believe it or not, separated themselves from the pack.
And, hell, I think the kid out of Texas, what is his last name? Malik Muhammad, I believe, or something.
Malik Muhammad.
Is that it? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going off from memory of Texas. I thought that kid could play some damn football. He's got elite footwork. He's got his hips are so quick. He gets in and out of breaks. He deflects balls. I thought for a fourth round pick, he was a steal.
Totally agree. And we said that, Johnny. We said this is going to be the draft where the smart teams, the smart executives do well, and the ones that aren't smart, aren't prepared, are going to be exposed.
Damn. I love that.
Because it wasn't loaded with talent. And can I say one more thing?
Absolutely.
The Cowboys with Malachi Lawrence, and then that kid from Michigan off the edge. Oh my God, I am incredibly impressed and surprised with how well and how smart the Cowboys drafted.
I love it, man. Mo, tell everybody where they can find you.
Mo_views22. I'll be here Friday. I'll try to jump on these next 2 days if y'all need me. I promise you, we do have some stuff coming down the pipeline. But I appreciate y'all, and I love y'all.
I love you too, man. That's Mo Schefter, Views from the 22, back in two shakes of a lamb's tail. Don't y'all dare touch that dial. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial, Sports56WHBQ.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy.